Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In the studio today, my co-host is retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, and we're going to talk with the 34th Infantry Division Artillery and meet the new Senior Administrator for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
In April, we celebrate Earth Day, honoring our commitment to environmental preservation with more than 13,000 service members and civilians working in 58 different communities across our great state. We have the potential to make a positive environmental impact. Just one example of our commitment is the 60-acre, 10-megawatt solar field at Camp Ripley, harnessing the power of the sun. This project produces enough energy to power all of Camp Ripley and earned Minnesota the Pentagon's top environmental award for natural resource conservation. The Camp Ripley Solar Project is just one of the many environmentally friendly efforts made by your Minnesota National Guard. Whether it's our renewable energy projects, wildlife management, or building new energy efficient facilities, we're taking action to protect our shared environment, not just on Earth Day, but every day of the year. For more information, please visit minnesotanationalguard.ng.mil. That's minnesotanationalguard.ng.mil.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. The Division Artillery is the field artillery headquarters for the 34th Division, and based on the Army's planned modernization, will be responsible for the oversight and control of multiple subordinate field artillery battalions when the new force structure is fully implemented. And Doug, we've got a couple of special guests here to talk about the 34th Infantry Division Artillery, and they've got a term that I want you to see if you can figure out, DeVardi.
Well, I won't explain to you exactly what that means. We'll let the experts do that. But, you know, we were commenting before the show, kind of joking about how when I first joined, there was a DeVardi and then it went away and now it's coming back or has come back. And so it's just kind of an interesting story, the way things go full circle, and a great conversation to have today with these two guests to hear a little bit more about the DeVardi. So with that, I will welcome the two guests we have in studio with us. First one is Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Kelly. He's the executive officer of the 34th Division Artillery, or the DeVardi, also the OIC out there, the officer in charge. Also, Major Blake St. Sauver, who's the operations officer for the DeVardi, the training officer out there as well. So, gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
It's good to have you in the studio. And Tom, I know you want to ask that very first question.
I got another question first.
Oh, so there's a first question to the first question.
Major St. Sauver, I don't think I've seen him since the last time I was in Kuwait, although I might have seen him at the state fair. How are you doing, Major?
I'm doing well, Tom. How are you?
Very good.
Yeah, 2016, it was a hot May day, and we did this show as well as worked with serving our troop guys.
It was hot. We drank a lot of water that day.
we did.
So we can get to that question then. It's one of the military terms, but it's a great one. And a lot of the old soldiers from the Minnesota National Guard understand what DeVardi means, but I think we need to check in on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'll start with Colonel Kelly. And if you wouldn't mind just kind of giving us the rundown, explain in layman's terms what a DeVardi is and why it's important.
Sure. So just a little bit of background, big picture from the Army. There are 18 divisions in the Army, and those are kind of the primary warfighting headquarters. 10 of those are in the regular Army, and then 8 of them are in the National Guard. And historically, in the U.S. divisions, each division had an artillery brigade that supported the rest of the division. Going back, you know, over 100 years ago when the U.S. created the divisions. Around 2007, the Army stripped all the divisions of those artillery brigades. They de-aggregated the units and they put them in into the brigade combat teams. So there was no longer sort of this headquarters that controlled the artillery across the division. Not just artillery, but other things were taken away from the division because the Army just didn't see it fighting those kind of wars. Now, as we look forward to the future and the kind of fights that we might end up in, the Army's kind of reversed course a little bit and said, hey, we need to have these artillery brigades reestablished and put back in the divisions. And the term they use for those brigades is Division Artillery or DeVardi.
So DeVardi, obviously, just another acronym, probably easier to say all the time versus, Division Artillery. But it's kind of interesting on how you know, the mission set at the time, the information available at the time drives these decisions for modernization or for structure. And so here we are coming back into the Divardi because obviously it's something that over the last 20 years of fighting the war on terror, there was a determination made that, hey, this needs to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. And from, you know, artillerymen, we were not super excited about seeing those units go away. But we also understand why it made sense. When you look at the wars we were fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, these were not large combat operations that required the massing of a lot of artillery across a division front. And so, you know, we were sad to see it go, but also understood at the time that was what the change that the Army needed. But we're certainly glad to see it back.
And so for command and control now, does it actually make things a lot easier because it's underneath this element inside of the division, the Divardi?
Yeah. So it gives the commander a lot more options in terms of weighing different levels of effort. So, you know, where right now we have one artillery battalion supporting each of the brigade combat teams, you may have to retask organize and you may give a brigade combat team two or three or four artillery battalions because they're the main effort. And so the Divardi really gives you the opportunity to weigh where you need those forces in a larger fight.
We're talking today about the 34th Infantry Division Divardi on Minnesota Military Radio. Major St. Sauber, I think I want to back up just a minute. When people think about 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, they think about the Minnesota National Guard. But the division is separate, and it's made up of units beyond just the Minnesota National Guard.
That's correct. It's the National Guard Bureau has realigned how the divisions look over the last 2.5 years. And moving forward, we understand that we're going to work across state lines, working with the other 50 states and two territories to support units that are outside our states of our own.
So, Colonel, I thought it was just important for our listeners that might not understand.
Yeah.
Division is separate, but a part of. A lot of your soldiers are Red Bulls from Minnesota. They also come from Iowa and other states.
Yeah, that's right. And the final design of the updated division is not complete, but the way it looks right now, 34th Division will have soldiers in 26 different states. The headquarters is here, and a lot of the main stuff is here, but we are made up of soldiers from many other states as well.
And so we talked quite a while ago when the Divardi was first coming online, the planning was going through, and, you know, you were just kind of in the infancy stages. So what's that process been like now? Obviously, the decisions were made. You're moving forward. You're going to start to get additional force structure, but not necessarily growth. What does the future look like inside of Minnesota for the Divardi and then some of these out-of-state type units that would support?
Yeah, it's certainly been interesting. When we started in October of 21, our first drill, we had eight soldiers and some desks with some laptops on it. So, you know, we've really evolved quite a bit. I think right now we're at 115-ish people. We've got everything from, you know, bayonets to satellite dishes in our inventory, and we continue to build out. We don't know exactly the timing of the Army putting subordinate battalions underneath the division artillery. We've seen some divisions already do that. But we definitely think it'll be before 2030. We think it'll be well before that, but we're kind of waiting on the Army to make some of their big decisions. They've designed us as a brigade headquarters, and so we expect we'll get subordinate battalions, but not 100% certain on the timing of that yet.
All right. So the Minnesota National Guard, I come to you, Major St. Sauber. We know that right now two field artillery battalions. We already talked a little bit about some of the outstate type of units, but what do you think could come to the Divardi in the future?
So underneath the current structure that the National Guard Bureau has laid out, the Colonel Kelly explained before that things aren't finalized, but the one battalion that is underneath the ABCT in Minnesota will come underneath the Divardi. And then the aligned brigade combat teams within the division, which there's brigade combat teams in Iowa, North Carolina, and Idaho, those individual battalions would come underneath the Divardi. So once that force structure changes, those elements would then realign. We would then also gain one additional field artillery battalion out of Utah as it currently stands.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk more with Colonel Kelly and Major St. Sauver. We're speaking with them about the DeVardi inside the 34th Infantry Division. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham, and we've been talking about the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division Artillery, which is referred to as DeVardi, and we've learned that. And Colonel Kelly, I just wanted to come to you. I know things change in the military, things change in the world. Some couple decades ago, the division lost its division artillery, or DeVardi, and now it's coming back, and a lot of people are happy about that. But I know things change, but does this give the military some flexibility or something that they think they might need now as opposed to 10 or 20 years ago?
Yeah, it certainly does. We've been in a designed army for the last 20 years that was designed for the fight that we had, which was, you know, things like Iraq and Afghanistan, which didn't require a lot of artillery support. There certainly was some. But as we look forward to some of our pacing threats, we look at China, we look at Russia, we look at, you know, sort of those level threats and large-scale ground combat operations, we know artillery is going to be a significant portion of that fight. And we can see that a little bit in Ukraine right now. And so bringing the division artillery back, what it does is it gives larger formations such as the division a lot more combat power to be able to mass on the battlefield where it needs it. Which we currently lack the ability to do. And so the division artillery is going to bring that back to the infantry and armor divisions.
Thank you. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about the history. And I understand that there's some historical significance inside the Minnesota National Guard with the DeVardi. And maybe you could just kind of highlight some of those things and talk through that with us.
Yeah. So the artillery history in Minnesota is quite long, and the division artillery's history goes back as long as the 34th Infantry Division does, which has been a significant part of our region and the state. Before it was the 34th Division Artillery, it was the 59th Field Artillery Brigade, and that was located right here in Minneapolis, at the Armory in Minneapolis. And one kind of interesting historical piece to that unit is in 1939, a young man named Jack Vesey walked into that armory, and he enlisted as a private into the headquarters of the 59th Field Artillery Brigade, which would later become the 34th Division Artillery. As some of you may know already, he deployed with that unit for World War II. He became the first sergeant of the headquarters battery of the Division Artillery in North Africa. He would later get a battlefield commission at Anzio, and then later become, I can't go through his whole history, but he became a four-star general and a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of our military. So, you know, a lot of history for our unit specifically and for the state.
And interestingly, now that the 34th Infantry Division headquarters has been named the General Jack Vesey Training and Readiness Center, or something to that effect, right?
Yeah. And I know we were going to talk about this in a minute, but you know, we'll be doing our uncasing ceremony at the General Vesey Readiness Center. So it's very significant for us that we're you know, bringing our colors out in a building that is named after, you know, our most famous member from the unit.
And Colonel General Vesey was sitting in that chair a few years back when he told us about his career and what he had to say about fighting with the 34th Infantry Division up through Africa and Italy and throughout World War II. Was the Red Bulls served more days in frontline combat than any other unit in World War II. So talk about history.
Yeah.
The division has it.
Yeah, and he was an artilleryman. He joined. At that time, they didn't go through basic training in AIT. They just joined the unit. You know, his story was, he said they told him that he could he'd be able to ride a motorcycle, and he thought that sounded fun. And so, you know, small beginnings right down the road here in Minneapolis, and ends up being a chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
46 years in the Army.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. Major St. Sauver, when you first joined the military, was there a DeVardi in place?
There was DeVardi in place. In fact, I think my father had just come out of the DeVardi at that point in time.
Okay, so. And then Colonel Kelly, obviously, when you joined, the DeVardi was in place as well?
It was. It was sort of on its way out. We folded up the colors here. I wasn't in the unit at the time, but in, I think, September 2005, they folded up the colors for the Division Artillery.
The reason why I ask is I'm just wondering if, you know, your involvement in the Divardi or as a young field artillery enlisted person or officer, what kind of things you're looking for to be maybe different or enhanced now that the Divardi has come back.
Yeah, we've been kind of reaching back to some of the, you know, some of our retired general officers that were in the Divardi. But most of us, you know, even if we were in when I was around, we were brand new second lieutenants. So we were just trying to handle our platoons and, you know, our fire direction center. So we didn't have a lot of attention spent at the brigade headquarters level. Yeah.
So we are speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Kelly and Major Blake St. Savre here about the 34th Infantry Division, the Divardi. You already mentioned the uncasing. That's kind of a significant event, I'm assuming. So can you tell us a little bit about, this is to you, Colonel Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about the uncasing and then really why is it such a significant event or so important?
Yes, thank you. So April 15th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll be doing our uncasing for our Divardi colors in Arden Hills. You know, it's a ceremony. It's part of the tradition of a unit, and it marks the beginning of a unit's heritage and lineage, and in our case, the reestablishment of the lineage and honors. So that'll be at the division headquarters at the General Vesey Readiness Center. Our division commanding general, Major General Kemper, he'll oversee the ceremony, and he'll make some comments as part of that, and then they'll uncase the colors. And he'll hand those over to Colonel Whelan, who is our current division artillery commander.
And is this event open to the public? Can the public just show up? Is there a reservation type of a process? What kind of information can you provide?
Yeah, so probably the best way, if somebody wants to attend, if you can go to just our 34th Division Artillery Facebook page, there's a link on there and you can click on to RSVP. So it is open, but we would like to know who's coming.
Major St. Savre, I got to ask you this question. You told us that your father, the now retired Colonel Scott St. Savre, was part of the Divardi before they shut it down. You're going to be part of it when you're standing it back up. It's all in the family, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how those things things happen over time. That's for sure.
All right, so it's back to me. All right, so the uncasing, go to the Facebook page. You can get some more information. I'm assuming that you're going to be seeing a lot of the old retired Divardi-type members that are going to be showing up to provide a bunch of advice and direction moving forward.
Yeah, we always appreciate seeing some of the former Divardi commanders or soldiers in that unit. We have coffee from time to time. There's at least three of the former Divardi commanders that we know We'll be in attendance to mark the ceremony, and I'm sure are happy to see the colors come back out.
And so we do have just about a minute and a half left here, and I'm just wondering about you know, additional training requirements. So I'll come to you as the training officer, Major St. Savre. You know, obviously there's still been a lot of preparation to put the unit online. Is there a pretty big, healthy training package coming along with this to get this thing set up? And then, of course, you start bringing in new soldiers as well?
So from multiple levels, at the division level, there's a set way of the division generally trains as far as like what are called warfighting exercises that train the division staff as well as the Divardi as a unit underneath that. So how we get trained is within the division's footprint. But internally, yes, because the new division artillery is very communications based, and therefore many systems that our soldiers either are waiting to receive or we have not received or they're waiting to get the proper training for. So there's a lot of training involved in the future that will specifically on communication systems.
Well, I know you two will do the absolute best that you can to keep this thing moving because you are the full-time support out there holding that officer in charge position and the training officer position. And gentlemen, I just want to say thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio today and sharing some more information about the Divardi.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Again, that was Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Kelly and Major Blake St. Savre from the 34th Infantry Division, the Divardi, sharing their story about the Divardi here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my co-host in the studio today is Doug Wortham. And in a moment, we're going to meet the new senior administrator from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. But first, it's time for the Commissioner Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Who are the movers and shakers in your communities? They may not boast about their service, but if you ask, you'll find that many of them are veterans. They are the leaders who take the initiative when something needs to be done. Give them the opportunity and they will exceed your highest standards. The men and women who have worn the uniform are driven to succeed. They are poised and ready for the next mission, their mission back home in Minnesota. This mission will be in the companies and small businesses across the state. If you're looking for a smart, dependable employee, look to a veteran. For additional information on how to hire a veteran, go to MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. In early February 2023, MDVA Commissioner Larry Herkey announced that Dave Bellify had been selected as the new MDVA Senior Administrative Officer, and he's joining us here again today. Dave, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. It's great to be here again. And as we've talked about, I really like doing this show. So thanks for the invite.
Well, it's good to have you. And quite a message from the commissioner today. Hire a vet.
Absolutely. As you know, we have the career fair coming up on May 3rd at the Heritage Center in the old Earl Brown Center in Brooklyn Park. And we partner with the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, or DEED, to host this event annually. And this year, we've moved it to May. So we're really excited. There'll be over 100 employers there and also our service organizations.
And Dave, it's a big year for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You got three new homes being opened up and you're hiring.
Absolutely. We need about 450 new staff people for those three new homes. And also, we would be remiss if we didn't mention we're also opening a fourth cemetery.
Wow.
A lot of people they need over there, Doug.
Yeah, well, you know, we've had the MDVA on the show several times in the last few months talking about hiring and the importance of filling these positions, especially as we talk about opening the new homes. And as we learned in a previous show, it's not about being necessarily at capacity as it relates to the homes. It's just the staff isn't there to fill up the beds that are currently empty. And so a great way for the public to come out and interact with people from the agency to hear about the positions that are open and get some information right on site.
Absolutely. Our HR staff will be right in the main lobby area. So if you are interested in one of our positions that we have open at one of the three new homes or our existing five homes, feel free to stop by our table. Again, that'll be on May 3rd.
Well, I hope that people come out and really take the opportunity to have that face-to-face and get some more information. And we could talk about hiring for the whole show, and I know that's not what the purpose is. And so I just kind of want to turn back and, you know, you're just new into the position now. And as the Senior Administrative Officer for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, can you kind of explain to us really what does that mean? What are the chief responsibilities that you have as being this Senior Administrative Officer?
Sure. So this role, and historically it was the chief of staff role at MDVA, and it oversees what I would like to say is the heartbeat of the agency. It's the support network for the two deputy commissioners, our programs and services side and our healthcare side. So the nine major core functions for the support of those two deputies include our finance, our human resources, our general counsel, legislative affairs, our facilities management, which is construction and the COOP plan, as we say, the strategic planning, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and our internal controls and auditor. So I oversee all of those main nine functions to really support the two deputies in their mission.
And so that'd be classified kind of like as the headquarters of the Department of Veterans Affairs.
Correct. Yes, the headquarters, or put it in the Army terms, or the N1, I suppose you could say.
Perfect.
So, Dave, actually, you support the commissioner and the deputy commissioners and the overall administration of the agency, kind of the liaison, and I'm guessing the firefighter.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it, the firefighter. So anything that we have going on either side with the deputies, again, the hiring initiatives with the healthcare side, the cemetery initiatives on our facility side, we cross all gamuts. Our finance department and, of course, all of our legal counsel. So opening three new homes and a new cemetery, as you could imagine, we have an abundance of contracts that we need to have signed and reviewed by our general counsel.
Dave, I'm thinking it's good you had all that firefighting training in the Navy when you were in there for 10 years.
Yep, damage control, as we say in the Navy. Yep, absolutely.
Doug, he's in the hot seat.
All right, so here we go. The state right now is in the middle of its legislative session. And just like any agency in the state, they've got their own priorities. Things are going to the legislators for funding and so on and so forth. What are the priorities of the agency of MDVA right now that you're pushing up on the Hill to try to get some funding for?
Sure, absolutely. Great questions. So the priorities, of course, are the governor's priorities for our agency. And we have 13 different initiatives that we're working through. Everything from our homes, staffing the homes, and a continuity of operations for our programs and services and our healthcare division. We have the homeless initiatives, which we continue to partner with MACV. And our SOAR programs, our Social Security Outreach Access and Recovery programs. We have some funding. Many of you know of LinkVet. So LinkVet, our contract has not changed with that organization since we started it way back in 2007 or 8. And we're seeking some additional funding for LinkVet. And they provide fabulous support for our veterans and are also the continuity or the bridge between our partners with the counties, the CVSOs. We are also seeking additional funding for the service bonus, which, as we're aware, we received funds last year. However, there were two areas that individuals may have been left out. So we're hoping to change the law to include veterans who didn't join in Minnesota. And then there's a faction of our veterans who didn't receive the Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, or I'm sorry, Expeditionary Medal, but did receive the Inherent Resolve. So we're hoping to shore that up as well.
And Dave, I know that the governor and the commissioner have also been focusing on suicide prevention. So that's a big to-do on your list, isn't it?
Absolutely. So two big ones, again, as you just mentioned, suicide prevention and also our homeless initiative. So we're looking at both of those areas and how we can really support those particular initiatives.
Yeah, we've made a lot of progress in the state of Minnesota on homelessness. I understand we're down to the two biggest counties. The rest of the state's pretty well cleaned up.
That's exactly right. We're hoping, and I know the commissioner says this, we're hoping with these initiatives and the funding for these additional programming, we hope to make the declaration sometime in 2024 of Minnesota being one of the very few states who have declared end to homelessness.
Dave, we're hoping that we get another veterans omnibus bill out of the state legislature. We got our first one last year, and I know everybody's working hard on that. What do you think?
Yeah, that's looking pretty good so far. As you mentioned, Tom, last year we had that veteran and military omnibus bill, and if we remember the vote count, so it went through the Senate with zero nays and went through the House with only one nay. So we know that our initiatives are supported by both sides of the aisle and, of course, by the governor and from many Minnesotans. So we're hoping that Chair Newton on the House side puts forward an omnibus bill as well as Chair Aaron Murphy on the Senate side.
And, you know, we talk about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, obviously your role as the senior administrative officer. The mission of the MDVA, take care of the vets, take care of their families, take care of those dependents, and provide those benefits and resources that they've earned and, quite honestly, they deserve for their service.
Yeah, that's what makes us really, I guess you could say, friends to both sides of the aisle. There really isn't any initiatives out there that, as we like to say in the legislative world, a lot of fat to our programming. We're really looking at focusing on our mission and how can we work within the funding that the state legislature provides us.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Dave Bellify, who is the new Senior Administrative Officer for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the office or in the studio today is Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking with Dave Bellify, who is the new Senior Administrative Officer for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Dave, we alluded to in the prior segment the fact that the legislature is in session and that there's a lot of things going up there, up on there. But we recently had an event called Veterans Day on the Hill, and I understand there were a lot of buses, a lot of people. It was a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for the veterans in Minnesota to show their voice and come to the Capitol. As you mentioned, we had over 15 buses that came to St. Paul. Some of them we heard were leaving as early as 4 a.m. from those local communities. So over 500 people is what we anticipated, and they covered the 2.5 floors of the rotunda in the Capitol. So what a great rally. We kind of started in the morning over at the Cedar Street Armory, and it was a great day again for Minnesota's veterans to talk about different initiatives.
What a great sight it was, and I happened to be down there that day, and I saw the number of people in that armory, and then the charge of people heading up to the Capitol being led by your favorite Marine Mick.
Mick Aguirre.
Yeah.
The commander of the DAV. And I had to be at the studio that day, Dave, but I understand it was pretty moving when Mick led all those veterans in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, absolutely. And we know Mick, as you mentioned, the CTF commander, and he fits that role well, and leading the Pledge of Allegiance is one of the highlights.
A good Marine leading the way that day.
Absolutely.
So there were some speakers there. We had the County Veteran Service Officers there, and I understand Trent Dilks from the DAV gave a spirited speech.
What can we say about Trent Dilks? just a wonderful person to have in that role. He drives the legislative initiatives for the CTF and obviously for all the service organizations, and he partners with MDVA to kind of push the governor's initiatives, as we talked about earlier. And we couldn't ask for a better person to really rally the troops, if you will. His speech that day was very enlightening.
And one of the interesting things that Trent talked about was the addition of Minfluence, which is his platform that people could sign up on through the DAV website or just Google Minfluence to be notified about legislative initiatives and things that, in this case, the CTF was bringing up to the Hill.
Sure. And we want our veterans in all 87 counties to be engaged in this process and understand how this process works. And Trent's platform that he talked about is a way for that.
And, of course, he explained to us on the show, Minfluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence. You can go to that, and you can find out who your state elected officials are for wherever you live in the state, and it'll show you how to get a hold of them, either by email or phone. And so our listeners should remember that. It's an easy way to do it, Minfluence, M-I-N-N, Fluence. And, Dave, I just wanted, we've mentioned the CTF, and maybe some of our listeners aren't aware, but that's the Commander's Task Force, and it's made up of the 8 federally chartered veteran service organizations. They combine their membership, and up to the Capitol they go to talk to our elected officials.
Yeah, absolutely. And they have for years had the governor's ear. And we know Governor Walz has met with this group on multiple occasions. So the initiatives that are put forward, the governor is listening. And we see it in the bills that are being introduced. So the process is working.
And the governor was there that day.
Absolutely. The governor ended the day out on the rally. As we know, Governor Walz is a veteran here in Minnesota, and he ended that day with a great message as well.
One of the most important things we're looking at is to try to get a second year in a row of a veteran and military omnibus bill.
Yeah, it's very important because, as we know, the initiatives that are put forward, again, are friends to both sides of the aisle. And it gets very difficult that if a homeless veteran initiative gets tied up with maybe another bill that could be a little controversial on either side of the aisle, and then it gets stalled. So let's really strive for getting another veteran and military omnibus bill and getting that through the House and the Senate and on the governor's desk as soon as possible.
So for all our veterans out there listening, go to Minfluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence. Find out who your state elected officials are and get a hold of them and ask them to please pass another veteran and military omnibus bill. And Doug, I know you wanted to get some websites and some other information out before we're out of time.
Yeah, we're going to be out of time here in less than a minute. And I just want to make sure that people understand how to get to the resources that the MDVA has to offer. One of the main things is using the 1-888 Link Vet option. But of course, there's the website, mn.gov/MDVA. We'll bring people right to the MDVA website. But more importantly, or as important, I should say, is a lot of positions available. I know the MDVA is hiring, so careers.mn.gov is the place to go. And don't forget, minnesotaveteran.org is another resource. So just tons of information, but 1-888-LINK-VET is probably the easiest one to remember.
Yeah, great partners with us, again, based out of the great city of Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and those folks are staffed 7 days a week and into the evening. So give them a call at 888-LINK-VET.
Dave, thanks for joining us in the studio, and we want to wish you all the best in your new position as a Senior Administrative Officer for the MDVA.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Doug, for the time today.
This is Dave Vellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, who is the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much for having me back.
Greg, looks like despite Mother Nature, spring might be coming up on us here. How are all your veterans doing in Brown County?
Well, we're doing pretty well down here in Brown County, down along the edge of the Minnesota River. I know certainly my farmer veterans are itching to get out in the fields, but the soil just isn't warm enough for them yet.
It's been a long, long winter. Greg, we want to talk today about your association, the Minnesota Association of County Veterans Service Officers. Can you tell our listeners what's that about and who belongs?
Well, the association began in 1945 at the same time when the legislature approved each county to hire county veteran service officers. So our association is the professional arm of all the CVSOs in the state. The association is responsible for training all of the CVSOs. We're also involved heavily with the Commander's Task Force, United Veterans Legislative Council, in the legislative aspect. We help our CVSOs if they have legal asks that they may not, that we're just their support organization.
And so the duties and responsibilities of the County Veteran Service Officers have grown. The association has grown, and of course, you were the president for a couple of years. We had you on the show, and over the last 12, 13 years, we've met many former presidents of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And I understand there's a fundamental change coming to try to provide some continuity to the association.
Yeah, that's right. When I was president here 3 years ago, every president figures out real quick just how much they are in demand. I remember when Marty Howes became president, the next day he said, did you get a lot of emails? Yeah, like 40 a day that have to be answered. And so the president is the CEO of our state association, and they're also their own county veteran service office. So we set out 3 years ago and established an ad hoc committee to come up with a job description for an executive director. And now we are at the point that the executive director position is being actively advertised within Minnesota. And we are going to hire someone later this springtime.
So that's a full-time position that'll be there year in and year out, provide some continuity between the presidents that serve a year or two and come and go, take some of that weight off their shoulders.
Exactly. Just with the legislative end on it, we've got three meetings a month that we go to in St. Paul. Marty Howes and the vice president and myself were just on Wednesday last week at the Commander's Task Force meeting with our federal legislators, which was real good. Now, Marty Howes is a good example. He's in Roseau County on the Canadian border. He's a seven-hour drive from St. Paul, and he this executive director position will be able to take up a lot of that. It's what we call a contract position, so there are some limitations in the benefits that we can pay, but the salary we're advertising is very competitive for someone that would be looking for this.
Greg, we just got about a minute left. What type of person are you looking for, and how do they apply?
Well, we're looking for a veteran. Doesn't have to be, but that would be the ideal if we had a veteran or someone who was a county veteran service officer in the past. Certainly they're going to want to be a people person. They're going to want to be able to be detailed and oriented and meeting with others, able to set up our big conferences in the fall. The way to apply, we have it listed out on our Facebook page, Minnesota Assistance Council, Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and then our CBSO that is in Kanabec County, Erica Bliss, is actually taking all of the applications. And I have her phone number here, if you can't find her email address, but her phone number is 320-679-6380. She is on our association webpage, which is just simply macbso.org. Eric, you can find her by name or by county, Kanabec County. And we're asking for resumes to be mailed to her. And those are going to be, I think, April 15th. It's May 15th is the cutoff date on those. And then our committee will sort those out, and we have an attorney working with us to make sure we're doing things appropriately in the employment world.
Thanks, Greg. We're out of time. If you want to apply for that job, go to the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. That was Greg Peterson from the MACVSO. We have two quick messages today. First, the Osseo Maple Grove American Legion Post 172 is putting on a fundraiser for homeless veterans. Spaghetti and meatball dinner for $12 Friday, April 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. They're also asking for, when you come over for dinner, to bring some donations of new T-shirts, underwear, and socks for our female and male veterans. And secondly, Magnus Veterans Foundation is putting on a pancake breakfast on April 16th from 8 to noon at the Sundance Entertainment Center. All you can eat pancakes, sausage, eggs, milk, juice, and coffee. And that fundraiser by Magnus Veterans Foundation will benefit Minnesota veterans and their families. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Ryan Kelly and Major Blake St. Sauer from DeVardy, Dave Bellify from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Greg Peterson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, my co-host Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about Tee It Up for the Troops and meet Warriors' Next Adventure. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.